Somebody who's old was very, very beneficial to us, has just walked in the door from long trip down. How long does it take you to get down, Nevin?
Hey, good morning, Maureen. About 2 hours, 15 minutes. And a Saturday morning, there's not much traffic, so it's not too bad.
Janie, I thought
great.
It was longer.
No.
But anyway, we're not exactly having the same summer that we had last year.
I know.
But my phone says the sun is coming, and you have to believe your phone.
We pray. We hope.
Don't you? Nevin is with us. Nevin Maguire has a few tips. Oh, I have to read something to you before.
Okay, go for it.
Before I come to you, and I needless to say, it'll be the last piece of paper that I brought. Are you familiar with a restaurant called Les Something de Bois in France?
Oh, about the yes,
about the
three Michelin star. I've been reading that. Yeah.
Well, it was in the papers yesterday. This guy who had three stars and lost one, and he's not a happy camper, and he's given out stink about them, and he said they know nothing about cooking. And he was depressed for 6 months after this. How dare you take the health of your chefs hostage? But they dared, notice it, sorry cheese producers in Ireland, they dared to say that we put cheddar in our souffle, which was reblochon. They insulted our region. My employees were furious. And he goes through the chickens.
Of course.
And he wants out of Michelin altogether. He said they wouldn't know food if it jumped up and bit them on the plate. He's not the first one that wanted out of it.
Yeah,
but
it's kind of very controversial.
They won't take him out. They said they won't take him out.
Yeah, it's kind of, can you go in, can you not? I mean, like, it's really their choice. I mean, like, I was reading that he didn't wear the jacket when they're presented with their Michelin stars, that at the ceremony he wouldn't wear the jacket. So maybe they took a bit of a snub to that. You know, I mean, like, it is a French guide known all over the world. It's very respected. In my opinion, we should have more Michelin stars in Ireland. The food has got so good here, but I do feel sorry for him when he got depressed and he got upset and he took it very personal. It can kind of make or break a business, you know. Yeah. Having the, and the third Michelin is
the
most iconic one. It's incredible.
Yeah.
For an experience from service to food, you name it, it's as good as it gets. At a price, to be honest with you, at a price.
I checked the price. 345 squids.
Per person.
Per person.
And that doesn't include wine. That's the menu. So, I mean, like, that would be incredible. That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. You know. And I looked up some of the TripAdvisor things, and people, you say, wonderful, marvellous, superb, my third, my fourth, my tenth time here. Jeez. And you think, who the heck?
Well, I've never been there, but I have eaten at Michelin star restaurants. And, you know, there is a certain special occasion. It is a real treat. And I do feel sorry for him. He's got incredibly tough on him that gives his life and really respects the guide, and then he's taken it very bad. So really has.
He's not going quietly.
No, he's not.
Anyway,
he's not.
Mind you, he still has two stars, there was another Jules, somebody or another, who just said, "Take it back. I don't want it. Yeah, it's too much pressure."
Michel Bra, he had three stars and give them back. I think I was reading recently that last year he went back into the guide and got two stars. Which the chop and change, and you know, it can either make or break your business. To be honest with you, it just brings tourists, brings people. It's an iconic guide. You know, the Red Book of the Michelin. It is hugely respected.
Now we're coming back.
We're bringing it very, very back home.
Excellent, but this is outdoors.
And I know it is very weather dependent, so I was kind of thinking barbecues and summer entertaining. So you can do a lot of all these recipes we're going to go through indoors, on the grill, on the pan. So, you know, you're pleasing everyone, because not everyone is a fan of barbecues. Do you like barbecues yourself?
I've been to ones I really enjoy, but it wouldn't be my number one thing to do.
Yeah, and I'm not an expert. I mean, like, I wouldn't even probably barbecue maybe six times a year, to be honest with you. Yet my wife and my family, we like it.
Yeah.
It's an enjoyable... I think the secret for people, like, for novices, is just to keep it very simple. Don't overcomplicate it. Get a really good burger, a really good steak. Ribeye, for me, is one of the best meats on the barbecue, because it is a lovely marble in the fat. So you can see I just bought it in there, and grass-fed, it just gives so much flavour. So it does, and the ribeye is particularly fatty. A little bit
Which
of fat
is a
gives
good
flavor.
Thing.
Gives flavor. I far prefer that to a fillet steak, you know. And I think it just gives so much flavor. And then another cut is chicken thighs, which I think is fantastic. Good value. There's a debate, do you cook chicken on the bone or not on the barbecue? Once it's cooked through, you can start it off in the oven at 180, finish it on the barbecue. Chicken thighs, these ones here are corn-fed. They're produced in Cavan. I'm going to talk about a lovely marinade that you can use for pork and beef and different things like that in a minute. It's a Chinese five spice, but it's beautiful. And we've done this regularly in the cookery school. We've done it on the barbecue, on the pan, and I have to be honest with you, on the barbecue. And it's gas barbecue that we use in the cookery school, because it's easy to clean, it's easy to control. I'm not an expert in barbecues, but I certainly think this is a great barbecue
Well,
dish.
I think they're much tastier than chicken breast, which can be dry cardboard.
You're right, they're full of flavour, they're good value, you know, and they're absolutely delicious, and I think getting flavour in. So we'll talk about one of the marinades that we are going to use.
Yeah.
And a good idea, I brought this up to you, is in a little kind of a zip bag, so you're saving and wash up, first of all.
Yeah.
So soya sauce, ginger and garlic. So this is kind of like an Asian-inspired marinade, but it works really well with chicken, pork, beef or lamb. Chinese five spice. Buy your spices in small quantities, and this is very aromatic. There's a little touch of star anise in it. It's very fragrant. It's really, really good in this marinade.
Right.
Also,
just
a small amount, exactly. You buy it in the supermarket. You know, some lots of great products out there, but Chinese five spice. It's not in any way hot, chili, nothing like that.
What does it do?
So it gives it makes it very aromatic, full of flavour, and especially with the chicken, if you can marinate it in your fridge overnight. Food hygiene is so important. If you're doing marinades in the fridge, but yet you take your meat, whether it's your piece of ribeye or your corn-fed chicken thighs, bring them to room temperature. Never cook them straight from the fridge,
okay,
which is really important. So this one has soya sauce. It's a soya sauce called Ketchup Manis. It's a low-salt soya sauce, but it's sweet. It's delicious, so it is. And what I put into that is a little bit of lime zest and juice. So you have sweet, you have sour, you have the Chinese five spice. Like this marinade here that I put in a Kindler jar, like that will keep for a month or two in your fridge.
Would it?
So you can make it ahead. You know, if you say, oh, I'm going to do a barbecue this evening, go out and get your chicken thighs or drumsticks or your steaks, and you can just throw that over for about an hour if you can in the fridge, and it's delicious. Now this one that I bought you has been marinating for 2 days.
In the fridge,
but not essential 2 days, but it is definitely 24 hours. You'll see a definitely change in colour. You'll see it'll firm up a little bit, but on the bone is delicious. But just make sure it's cooked through. If there's any trace of pink, you know, with chicken, we got to make sure it's cooked through.
Yeah.
Pop it into the oven, wrap it in tin foil. It'll finish on the barbecue.
Right.
So it will.
And that's chicken there. Do the same with the steak?
Yeah, the marinade
overnight
would work really
again.
Well, sometimes just to keep the steak really, really simple, some nice rapeseed oil or olive oil, a little bit of garlic and thyme works beautiful.
Okay.
You don't need to add really too many spices. For me, the steak, grass-fed, star of the show. But I've bought in a butter here because we all think of a flavoured butter, garlic butter, which is lovely. It's a classic. But this is a roasted red pepper, and you can actually buy roasted red peppers already pre-roasted in the supermarket. You can do your own in the oven. It takes about 25 minutes. It's the only thing you're allowed to burn. You burn the skin and then you wash it off, and you blend it with butter, smoked paprika, which I bought in this spice too, which is really, really good in a tomato soup or a tomato sauce. Always buy your spices in small quantities because then they keep fresher, to be honest with you. So you blend this with good salted Kerrygold butter or whatever, and then you blend it with some basil. And this butter that I bought you, I wrapped it in cling film. That will keep for a month in your fridge, or you can freeze it up to 3 months. So make extra, keep it, always date it and label it. And this is delicious with the grilled piece of meat, chicken, even on a burger, which is hard to beat. There's some fantastic burgers out there that you can buy. You can make your own, but there's some really, really good ones. And a flavoured butter is delicious, even on a baked potato or roasted vegetables.
I would
like
have
that.
Thought that was a mortal sin for you to say you can buy the burger that you'd be saying, make it.
I'm a big believer in keeping things, you know, as convenient as possible. If you are happy with a good burger, whether it's from your local butcher or, you know, there's lots of people that make really nice burgers out there. You know, once you're happy with it, it's good meat content. You need a little bit of fat in it for moisture. Some of them are a little bit spicy, you know, and there's lots of competitions out there. Who is the best burger in Ireland among different supermarkets and also some butchers? So if you can make your own, it's all about time. I want people to enjoy the whole occasion with their family and friends. Let's talk about a salmon recipe.
Okay.
So this is salmon. You can use organic farm salmon, or you can use some sea trout, which is wonderful. Or this recipe will work with some monkfish, which is actually not bad price at the minute, to be honest with you.
Usually so, very expensive.
Yeah, usually is, to be honest with you, but it seems to be plentiful at the minute. So you get no skin, no bone, and we wrap it in Parma ham. And underneath the Parma ham, Marion, some beautiful asparagus. So we just literally pre-cook the asparagus tips. So you get the little tips and you put them in boiling water for about maybe 20, 30 seconds. You wrap it in the Parma ham. I have a lovely little herb called bronze fennel there, which is gorgeous, or dill. And then this is a cracking little recipe on the barbecue.
Really?
Because the parma ham gets crisp. The salmon or trout, whatever you want to use, will be really, really moist and just cooked through. And it's not going to fall apart. So you actually wrap it in that. And then to serve with this is a sun-dried tomato pesto. So semi-sun-dried tomatoes, a little bit of smoked paprika, some extra virgin olive oil, a little touch of garlic and basil. And this is a dressing that will keep for a month in your fridge, which is fantastic. Lovely also if you're making soda bread or you want it in pasta or over some roasted root vegetables in a barbecue. Right. It works really, really well.
How long would you cook the fish for?
Well, it depends. Like, so on the barbecue, on a gas barbecue, you'd have it nice and hot. So put it up full heat, seal it off. Always brush the barbecue with a little bit of oil so it stops it from sticking. Okay, that's really important. And what that will cook in about maybe 12-14 minutes. Keep turning it. So reduce the temperature. So in a gas barbecue, you start off in a full heat and then bring it down halfway. And you need to, depend if you have the lid closed, Marion, it's going to keep much hotter, so it is. But if you have the lid open, it's going to lose a little bit of heat. So just adjust it. As I say, for the diehards who love barbecue, it's charcoal all the way. It's
it's a different flavour. All of that.
Totally
and
different.
And it is lovely.
Ah, it is.
Yeah.
If it's done
that's
well.
That's smoky.
It's just delicious. There's something absolutely delicious about that. And like, I've given you a recipe, and all the recipes, of course, are on your website. But this is a different one. It's a garlic and mustard, and it's a beef marinade. Or you can do this with chicken or turkey or pork, which is gorgeous. And there's a little bit of smoked paprika. I seem to have used that a lot, actually, when I think of it, in three recipes. But this is some garlic in it and a little bit of mustard, which works really, really well.
With
all meats. Absolutely gorgeous.
And the fish.
And the fish. And even the monkfish would work really, really well.
Okay. Last thing, vegetarians?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going for like sweet potato, butternut squash, that kind of thing, root vegetables, baby carrots. So a little bit of honey, a little bit of soya, ginger and sesame seeds. You marinate them if you can overnight, your root vegetables. You can par cook them because it depends on the size of the vegetables. They're going to take quite a while on the barbecue, to be honest with you. But you need to get flavour. A great herb if you're doing any kind of vegetables in a barbecue is thyme or rosemary. Works really well. It's quite a firm herb and works really, really well. So with those, with your root vegetables on the barbecue.
And
butternut squash.
And would you put those on a
skewer?
On a skewer.
You could, or you could do them in foil. I'd like to put them on the naked, you know, on the bars of the barbecue so you get flavour. And then if you want to finish them off, put them in tin foil, drizzle over some more of that lovely syrup or any of those, any of these dressings that I've told you, and they'll bake in there and serve it with some lovely light couscous, which is gorgeous, or a salad. Hard to beat a very, very simple salad with that. And of course, any kind of like fennel is very good. The bulb of fennel is excellent. Yeah. I really like it. It's aniseed-y, but it's a firm vegetable. Whereas tomatoes on a barbecue,
They do,
unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know, peppers are lovely. I love red peppers. They're lovely and sweet. And on the barbecue, just drizzled with a tiny little bit of oil, a little touch of garlic and some herbs. It's just beautiful and delicious, so it is.
Right. The interesting, I complain about it every year, you grow your own tomatoes now, do you?
Well, they're a thing that actually really kind of we struggle
to
grow.
It's very hard to get tasty tomatoes.
It is. Like, you're used to going to Italy and I've been and Spain, and they have the sun. It's the sun that gives it the ripeness and the sweetness, you know. And some of the best tomatoes are in Italy. San Maranzo tomatoes, they're just the king of tomatoes. So they are. Like, we have a full-time gardener. It's struggle. Yeah. Basil and tomatoes are the two things that struggle because we don't get enough constant sunshine, to be honest with you. And if you get really nice warm summer, nothing nicer than your own tomatoes, to be truthful.
Because last summer must have been unbelievable because
incredible.
There was,
but it came too early. Even my grower would say that, like, even in August when we'd be harvesting the tomatoes, or July, you know, June was exceptionally hot. It wasn't a perfect summer. It was a great summer for barbecue, but for growers, my God, it was really challenging. So it was, you know. And I think if you can grow your own, listen, a lot of people love to do that, like, you know, whether it's cherry tomatoes or strawberries or whatever, it's hard to beat. You know, it is hard to beat the flavour of that.
As long as you get the flavour right. That's the whole thing.
That's it.
That a tomato tastes tomatoey and that it doesn't taste chemically.
Yeah, you're right. And Mary, what I like to do with tomatoes when you get them is a little bit of lemon zest, extra virgin olive oil and some balsamic vinegar. And I actually leave it overnight in the fridge, and it's lovely for a dressing, just for your listeners, even to serve at any of these meats that I spoke about.
Right.
And even for breakfast with a poached egg, a little bit of crispy bacon and those tomatoes. It's absolutely delicious.
Okay. Well, that's all good. Just before you go, Brexit affecting you with insecurity or uncertainty?
Uncertainty. I mean, it's just I don't know what to say. And I mean, like, I don't think they don't even know. Yeah, it's worrying times, definitely. Yeah. You know, for companies, for farmers, you know,
just and that, on the border.
Oh,
there.
We're right on the border. A lot of our staff are from Fermanagh, so we'll just wait and see. But I hope sense prevails. I think I've said that a few times, I'm worried about it. You know, definitely coming down the line, it's a worry for businesses.
Okay,
you know, so fingers crossed, it will be
absolutely.
It'll pan out okay for everyone.
Okay, Nevin, thank you, Marianne. Very, very
great
much
to see you.
Thank you.